perspective, what is the, in your opinion, the single most important issue facing Wilmington and the Little Cape Fear region?
Lack of job growth. Broken record. I mean, until we get a handle on that, until people realize the reality of our economy, I think people live in fairy tale land sometimes in terms of what really is happening out there. And so I think the lack of job growth is something that, you know, we all have to address. And it's wonderful to be working with people like Gary that have come in very collaboratively and started talking about bigger issues, because until you understand where you are, it's going to be really hard to get someplace else. So I think we've really got to focus in with laser-like vision on how to create jobs.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest challenge is not only surviving, but trying to find ways to grow your jobs. My business, you talked about, I mean, now I'm putting on my engineer hat. The engineering profession, the survey profession, the architectural profession, we're the coal miner's canary of the economy. And we're all really struggling right now. And so that means there's nothing in the pipeline behind us. And that's scary. If we were busy, then you would start seeing some jobs coming down the road pretty soon. But we're not busy. And one of the problems is there are some projects that are starting to take off, but if you could put jumper cables on the heart of the economy, it would take you 18 months to 2 years to get a permit to create the first job. So that's a real concern. And then financing is so difficult because of the recession that we went through and the mistakes that had been made in financing in the past. Things have gone back to where they were back in the 60s, and it's really put us at a disadvantage. It's going to take a while to do that. And then on top of all that, costs are going up on individuals and going up on businesses. So it's pretty scary right now. So just survival is a big challenge for my personal business. And then I take that same fear that I have every morning as a business owner to Rob. And I think that's good that the freshman class has 5 engineers. It has a lot of builders. It has a lot of doctors. It has a lot of people with different backgrounds that I think we all share that concern. And so you do have people in Raleigh that understand the importance of business and the challenges that we face.
Chancellor Miller?
I worry about jobs and the proximate economy too, but what really keeps me up at night is sort of the long view. We expect seniors graduating from UNCW this year to have somewhere between 5 and 7 jobs in their lifetime. Half of those jobs are not yet invented. So we have the challenge to me about jobs in the long term and the health and vitality of the democracy has to do with education, starting at the very earliest ages and up through the university education, if that's appropriate for that person. And that education has to be focused on this need to be able to invent and be entrepreneurial in your own career for the rest of your life, because that I believe is what we're basically going to be facing. I think that also puts on the community a different kind of economic development outlook and a different kind of imperative in the way we think about what the jobs in Wilmington and the region are going to be in the coming years. So that's what I focus on. As I have the same worries that the representative and Connie have about what happens next year and the year after, but I also have the worry that we'll get down the road and not be ready for what I think we see coming with regard to the future of the economy.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to ignore jobs, and I think, you know, Coworks is at kind of a unique position, and it really lends and supports this entrepreneurial spirit, you know, and I think if there's anything that we can do to leverage what we've started here to really help encourage entrepreneurship, I think, you know, as part of the bigger job, you know, project, I think that's really where I'd like to see us focus. So.
I think my answer is predictable, and that's healthcare. One of the biggest expenses we have, and one of the fastest growing expenses we have in my company, is the cost of healthcare, of course, at a state level and federal level too. So that's a large issue, and hopefully we're playing a part in increasing quality and decreasing cost here in our community.
I think our biggest challenge is overcoming the perception that the arts are somehow frivolous and an add-on. And not really given or valued for what they bring to the community in terms of not only jobs, but also enhancing the quality of life that we have here. When I was appointed to this position in July, I was visited by former Secretary of Cultural Resources, Linda Carlisle, and she said something that I thought was very prescient. And she said, people decide if they can live somewhere before they decide if they can work somewhere. And you know, we work generally 8 to 10 hours a day. What are we able to do with the, you know, other 16 hours or so that we're not working? And I think that's where the arts come in. And so I would say that, yes, the challenge is overcoming that perception.
Great, and we want to make sure we have time for some Q&A from the audience. If anyone has a question, who wants to ask either one of the panelists or then the whole panel? If not, I have a couple other.
Could I comment on the arts part of it? I'm also a supporter of the arts. I've been on the board of the Wilmington Symphony Orchestra. By the way, I've got a call from the Carolina Ballet. They would like to have a meeting down here in Wilmington to see about raising some money to bring the ballet down here. And so I'll be trying to set that up. And it is the cultural aspects of the community are a big part of it. My first exposure to that was when I went on an environmental trade mission to East Germany right after the wall came down, and we went to Leipzig to hear Kurt Masur, and that's the first time I've been there, and everybody there was poor, and they were wearing old, worn-out suits and dresses, but it was so important to them that it was one of their quality of life enhancers. Even though they were unemployed, I think their unemployment was 25%. So it is important to the community. The problem is paying for it.
I wondered if Linda can speak to the Titan Cement issue and how they feel about that as a attractor versus a detractor of the type of jobs that we're trying to recruit into the area.
I will. It would be nice in a perfect world to only have the kind of jobs you wanted yourself in a community. I think we need a balanced economy. And literally, until we change the laws so that someone is not able to meet the standards of the state, the standards of the state are there. So.
Does anybody else want to weigh in?
Chicken.
we're
good buds.
You're a troublemaker. it's an industry that has impacts on the community, and the question is whether or not those impacts are outweighed by the benefits that they bring. But I don't think we have control of that. We have existing rules and regulations, and that's what people have to deal with. If they get their permits and build their facility, then they'll get their permits and build their facility. But personally, I don't think that the benefits will outweigh the impacts. But that's just a personal thing.
Perhaps Connie, Representative Catlin, there is certainly frustration and concern about lack of jobs. When we look within the realms of North Carolina, who do we look to for the vision, the comprehensive long-term plan, the 20-year plan, if you will, Secretary of Commerce, Foreign Trade Committees, I'm not hearing that there is a well-thought-out plan for North Carolina.
I'll take it down to the local level. I think that there are some communities that have well-thought-out plans. You know, I'm looking at RTP right now. They are doing very well, and they're reinventing themselves all over again. So I think there are pockets of wonderful stuff going on. I think that we're at a point now, and I think we've been kicked in the teeth in this community long enough, and we have some changes in the community that will allow us to step back and say, we have to be our own master of our own fate, and it's time to get it together and collaborate and figure out where we want to go. Because we're so different. I mean, Wilmington's not like Asheville. It's not like Charlotte. It's not like Raleigh. So I don't know if you can develop a vision for the whole state like I would like a vision here done. So I would say it's time to start.
Yeah, you don't want the state government developing a vision for your county. You want them to be as much out of your way and doing what they can to facilitate local visions and local economic opportunities, because like Connie said, we're so different. I mean, our coast is so different than the Piedmont. Our Piedmont's so different than the mountains.
I mean, it's even little things like, they're not little things, but in the scheme of things, little things. I mean, if you look at our trying to get a third bridge over the Cape Fear River, we are never going to outpace Charlotte and Raleigh and the Triad and the Triangle for people. We will never have as many people going over a bridge as anybody else. But dadgummit, when you got a lot of water, it's very expensive to move anything over water. And those are kind of things that when you look at how the state prioritizes, we lose out. And that's why I think we've really got to start looking internally at how do we do things. We don't have to do it the way the state has always done it. And we don't have to follow the way the state does it now.
That is so clearly shown in a little project I'm doing. I'm the majority freshman leader, so... And there's 31 of us, and I thought, well, I need pictures and names and what districts. So I've got a map of the districts in North Carolina, and I started putting pictures. And I can't get all the pictures in the middle part of the state, but there's no problem on the east part, there's no problem on the west part. So Connie's right. We don't need the majority of people in the state legislature telling us what our economic vision is.
So we look to local leaders.
Yes, I think so.
How does that work, though, with the port? I'm just curious, with something like, I mean, that's going to be a big determination of what happened. I mean, the livability of this area, and that's a big priority of the state as a whole. I mean, you see the magazine pictures of Asheville as a port city, you know. It's like, so, but it's truly Wilmington that will be the port.
That's an asset that we're trying to facilitate. Our beaches and our waterways are assets we're trying to facilitate. But locally, our port enhancement zone is actually trying to be the marketing organization for the ports, because the state of North Carolina has not been successful at marketing. You can have all of the assets that you want, but if you don't know how to sell it, and we have to. For us to grow and prosper, we have to attract people from other states, and we've got to attract businesses from other countries. Because otherwise, the landscape is flat. I mean, it's just, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. And so that's why we've got the foreign trade or the foreign promotion zone council to try to find ways to work with the World Trade Organization to support the ports. And the ports is a member of that organization, and they're very supportive of our marketing efforts.
I think Gary's comment about being an honest broker, I mean, that's really changed the way, I mean, we get together once a quarter talking about bigger issues than we've ever talked about before. And so I think finally there's been enough, again, kicking the teeth long enough, and you realize you're not doing it the right way. And I think that change is happening. I feel like, even though the economy's bad, jobs are bad, maybe that's the wake-up call. As Spence Broadhurst, the old mayor, used to say, nobody listens when you're fat and happy. You know, so I'm hoping that the world's a different place.
And Bill, do you have a question?
Yes, I want to follow up on the vision, the leadership in the community, and the context of the baseball stadium. My work kept me out of town over a good deal of the period of the baseball stadium, but it seemed to me as I followed that somewhat from afar that the job that was done by the negative view far outnumbered and exceeded the work that was done by the advocates. And it seemed to me that the community leadership was not speaking out articulately or coherently with respect to the baseball stadium, and it did not put it in the context of being a critically important economic development issue and a tax and revenue issue that was favorable to the community. We lost by, what was it, 70%. So that was a pretty tragic outcome, and I don't know that any effort would have succeeded, but my question is, what do we do about this, and where do we go, and what about that visionary thing if you're working better with the chancellor and Cape Fear Future is perhaps more reactivated across the board? Do we then come to a vision statement? I think people in this room would like to hear what you all think and intend to do about this so that we have a visionary statement and we move the community forward. Come together. Get it done.
Put Connie in charge.
Honestly, the baseball, the ballpark, was as polarizing as I've ever seen. There weren't enough people in this community to outweigh the negatives. We know that. But just to get people to maintain their support when their neighbors started saying, I don't like you, I don't want to do business with you, it was amazing what fell apart and what walked away from an opportunity that we'll never have again. Wilmington's always been a tough place to work in. I mean, you can go back years and years and years, but we've got to get over that. We have just got to, and I'm really hopeful with the chancellor and the new community college president and the new superintendent and the us wanting to work with as many people as we can to make changes, and some of the organizations seeing that maybe some of the things they've done has some things they have done has not worked. I'm really thinking that we're at the bottom and have to go up. And if you look at our public policy agenda this year, it's not been approved, so I'm not going to go on record, but I think that one of the statements is going to be to work with these entities to sit down and try to pull it together.
Are you part of the Sustainable Communities Consortium grant for all the planning of the Tri-County area?
Yeah, but I'm just talking about New Hanover County. Good Lord, I wouldn't get beyond New Hanover County.
Well, because there is that grant, though, that ties into a lot of, all this stuff that we're talking about, especially that local regional vision versus the state vision.
I'd just like to get it right at home.
I think one of the most damaging things that's happened in our county in the past 18 months was the passage of the special use permit by the county commissioners, and I would like to hear someone's commentary on that. I've heard a lot about how our jobs have died and jobs and lack of jobs are, the biggest threat, and I would contend that the passage of the special use permit has fundamentally closed New Hanover County to any new industry coming into our county. And I would welcome thoughts.
I'll answer that as a commissioner in conversations that we had. When New Hanover County was notified that they were going to be in non-attainment for sulfur dioxide, which was a new standard, Commissioner Barfield and I went to Washington, and we met Regina McCarthy, the head of air quality for EPA, and the state of North Carolina couldn't do anything about it. They said it's a federal requirement. So we went up there, and what we learned was that they regulate what comes out of the smokestacks. But locally, we regulate how many smokestacks we have and where we put them. Except we didn't. We had no control locally on anything like that. So there was no mechanism for New Hanover County to prevent a new industry from putting us into non-attainment. Non-attainment, not only is a health issue, but it also can lower your bond ratings. It can change the whole perspective of your tourism economy. And so it's a very negative economic impact to be in non-attainment. Well, we were able to negotiate, and just to let you know how that went, at the end of December of this year, our three-year average, because we talked them into giving us an extra year to average because one of the industries had closed near the monitor, we were below the 75 part per billion standard for sulfur dioxide. So we don't have a health problem. We don't have a non-attainment problem. It's still not a done deal. EPA's still got to figure out how to let us out of that, but I think we're going to get out of that. So, but that started the conversation about, and so we looked at the industrial zoning that we had, and it basically said, it said in the text, and I don't remember it exactly, but it said, these areas are designed for industries that are hazardous, public health, nuisance industries. That's what our zoning had, and we had them all over the county. And it was 40 years old, and it needed to be modernized. And so the special use permit that got put into place was limited. And by the way, planning staff had 40 years of pent-up frustration, so there was a lot of things got put in there, but they all got cut out. The only thing is that if you are a smokestack, if you are a heavy industry that is new, that you have to get a special use permit. That special use permit is a quasi-judicial process that you cannot deny it because you don't like it. You can't deny it because the citizens don't like it. You can only deny it if it's going to put you in non-attainment or if it's going to impact one of your county's resources or property values. And so it did not affect GE and their expansion. It does not affect any existing business. If they can double their size, it only affects new ones coming in that have heavy industries and smokestacks that might impact our air quality or some other.
Isn't uranium enrichment a new use for GE?
No, it's part of their. It's part of their industrial food chain. Everything that is existing got exempted. Only brand new things, so that we could take a look at the impact. And so it has had no impact on existing businesses. And it has no impact, and it has had no impact on any new business yet.
But you can't qualify that. I mean, I've talked to a lot of site selection consultants who would disagree.
Well, so. I can argue that with you, but if we were in non-attainment, nobody could do anything. Nobody could expand. So it was a choice of solving one problem or not. And it was solved with the lowest impact that was possible.
And let's to wrap up real quickly, go down the line and say very quickly, one sentence, what you guys foresee.